We're doing Mishlei. We're up to the 23rd chapter. And we will dedicate our learning to the Rufua Shlema of Amram Rafael ben Zohar. There was a request posted to read the Psukim with their tune before we explain it. Yonatan, you guys ready? You guys okay with that? Yeah? Okay, yeah? Is that okay? Okay. Ki teshev lilchom et Moshe'el bin Tavin et asher lefanecha besamta sakin beloecha im ba'al nefesh ata al tit'av lemat amotav vehu Lechem kezavim. Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, when you're sitting for a meal, kiteshev lilchom, you're sitting to break bread, et moshel, with the ruler, bin tavin, understand, you should understand, et asher lefanecha, that which is before you. You're sitting with the governor, with the president, with the king, and he sets the table, and there is a lavish meal before you. Understand who you're sitting with. You're invited for a meeting with your boss, and he takes you to a fancy restaurant. Understand who you're sitting with. V'samta sakin beloecha, put a knife in your throat. Im bal nefesh ata, if you're a person who's got a wide soul, meaning if you're a hungry person and you're a person that likes to eat, so you're about to order venison and steak and you're going to have it, you're going to go all out on his expense. So Shlomo HaMelech says, recognize who you're sitting with. He may have invited you to a lavish table, but he is the Moshel, he is the ruler, and maybe he's not interested in you ordering the best foods. So put a knife in your throat. Al titav lemata motav, don't desire his goodies. Vehu lechem kezavim, and it is bread that's a lie. He's not interested in giving it to you, so take it easy. Just because the table is set lavishly doesn't mean he's interested in you having all of that. So, Shlomo HaMelech is telling a person to control his desires when he's sitting with the boss or the governor or someone else. Chazal say this is a reference to a student by his Rebbe. So, like every mashal in Mishlei, there's the simple understanding. You're coming to someone's house, don't gobble down the food, take into account how much he really wants you to eat. And then there's the deeper understanding, which is a reference to a student and his Rebbe. A student sits opposite his Rebbe, he should understand who he's sitting opposite. And if he has a question that might embarrass the Rebbe, might stump him, so then put a knife in your throat. Be quiet. Don't ask a question that'll embarrass him. Don't desire all his goodies if he can't give you a true answer, so Don't push him to the wall in front of the crowds. Now, the Gemara in Chulin that says this understanding doesn't seem to say anything derogatory about the Rebbe. The Gemara seems to say, you see, he doesn't know the answer, go to someone else and ask your question. But Rashi here in Mishlei, Rashi seems to interpret it a little differently than we would understand the Gemara. Rashi says, don't desire his goodies. Well, go to a different Rebbe. Go to a better Rebbe. Don't embarrass him. He won't know answers. So go to a better Rebbe. Rashi seems to be learning the message of the verses is he doesn't know how to answer all your questions, so go find someone else who does. and Rashi goes even further than that. Rashi says, if you're sitting in front of a Rebbe, if you know he'll be able to answer every question you ask him, so then ask him every question. And if not, then don't. Find a Rebbe who will know to answer every question. I don't know. I don't know if you'll find a Rebbe that knows how to answer every question, but you know what? I'm on this side of the table, so I'm biased. But that's what Rashi says here. It's a very phenomenal pshat. Pasuk Dalet. Al tiga lehashil mi binatecha chadal. Don't toil too much to become wealthy. A person has to step back from trying to use his understanding to just attain wealth. God gave him understanding for to be used for other things. Now, this pasuk is a very complicated pasuk. What does the pasuk mean? we gave one understanding. There's another understanding that says, "Al tiga, don't toil leha ashir, to come close to the wealthy, mi binatcha, but from your understanding, chadal, you'll be able, so to speak, to take off from him. You won't need him. Use your own understanding. Mi binatcha, from your own understanding, chadal, step back, hold yourself back from trying to get close to him." Shlomo Amar says many times in Mishlei that the tendency of people is to try and get close to the wealthy. They think they'll get something. If I'm his friend, it'll rub off on me. I'll get something from it. And they don't realize that it's not necessarily that way. So Shlomo Melch over here is saying, according to that understanding, don't try to go so close to him, but use your own understanding to stay away, keep a distance. And if that's the understanding, then it goes in line with the previous verses. The previous verses said, even when he invites you to the meal, don't think you could sit down and gobble up all his goodies. He invited you to the table, that doesn't mean he wants you to eat everything he's had set down on the table. And then he says, don't try to be so close to him. Use your own understanding to understand when to step back. And this is an important message. People sometimes think they could, so to speak, take advantage of a person. Just because he's nice to them, they could keep coming back or stay over or stay longer. A person invites someone to his Shabbos table. He doesn't mean for the guy to stay throughout the afternoon and throughout Shabbos and the third meal, etc. He invited him for one meal. That's his intent. He doesn't mean to do otherwise. You don't want to bring him to a situation where he has to say, look, I'm sorry, right now I have to go to sleep or something like that. Then it's Meshivra Tachatova. So Shlomo Melech is saying, even in a situation where one has been brought close to the wealthy or someone else, he has to know where to put his own limits, where to put his own boundaries. So that's another possible understanding, that's another understanding in the Pasuk. But the first understanding, we said, Al tiga le'ashir, is an important message. Because many people spend their whole lives with this sole intent, I want to become wealthy. That's their goal in life. And Shlomo HaMelech is saying, Al tiga le'ashir, don't tire yourself out just trying to become wealthy. Okay, there's an understanding of Chazal about a person's own learning, but for now, we'll continue. Pasuk Hei. Hata'if einecha bo ve'einenu ki aso ya'ase lo chenafayim kenesher ya'uf bashamayim. Notice the tamim over here, the revia, that on the word bo is sung differently because it precedes an olevi ored, the ve'einenu. Whenever it precedes that tam, so we read it as bo ve'einenu, and that tam of on the word ve'einenu, the trap that's on top of the aleph and on bottom of the nun, is the greatest pause in a pasuk after the etnachta, after the sof pasuk. It's a more distinctive pause than the pause under the word chinafayim, even than the etnachta. You want me to read the pasuk again? Okay. Hataif einecha bo ve'einenu ki aso yase lo chinafayim kenesher ya'uf hashamayim. Shlomo HaMelech says, in a bat of an eyelash, if you close your eye for a second, then you'll lose it, because it'll make itself wings and just fly off to the sky. So the simple understanding is, Shlomo HaMelech is saying, what's the idea of wealth? Wealth isn't something that lasts forever. In a second it could be gone. And one day a person could go from being the wealthiest person in the world to from riches to rags. It can switch. His whole financial situation can change in a day. So that's not something worth investing one's whole life in. That shouldn't be one's aspiration. Chazal said that this is a reference to a person's learning. That in a bat of an eyelash, a person could forget everything he's learned. that a person has to always review his learning. If he's not reviewing it constantly, hataif einecha bo veinenu. In a bat of an eyelash, the hataif is to fold over. If you fold over your eye, meaning you close your eyelash, you close over your eye, and you open it, and you could have forgotten what you've learned. So learning is the type of thing where a person has to be consistent and to constantly review what he's been learning. A person has to try and be consistent in his reviews so that he maintains his learning. Otherwise, it's like an eagle will make wings that flies away very quickly, one's learning. People think they come to Machon Meir, they've learned for a month, 2 months, 5 months, a year. That's it, I know everything I got to know. That's it, I'm a master of everything. Even what you've learned at Machon Meir can be forgotten very swiftly if one doesn't review. That's why it's always recommended to also take notes. It's not enough that the shiurim are online. What are you going to do? Go online and listen to all the hours of shiurim you guys have learned here? If you take notes, or if you review what you've learned and you master it, so then you have something that you'll take with you for life. Al tilcham et lechem ra'ayin ve'al titav lemat amotav ki kemo sha'ar benafsho ken hu echol ushtei yomar lach velibo bal imach פיתך אכלת תקיינה ושיחת דבריך הנעימים. שלמה המלך says, don't sit for a meal with a person who has a bad eye. Don't eat with such a person, and don't even desire his delicious foods, because כמו שאר בנפשו כן הוא. Just like a person who evaluates himself and he has these great fantasies. I am Superman. I am Wonder Man. I can do this and I can do that. And you guys just wait when I'll enter the business. Once I enter the business scene, you'll see I'm going to make a mint. People have all kinds of fantasies about themselves. That's what this guy is like. He tells you, here, eat, drink. But his heart isn't with you. You'll eat your bread. You'll vomit it. And when you feel like he's looking badly at the fact that you've eaten his bread, so then even the things that you've spoken kindly to him and you've thanked him for the delicious food, and you said, wow, thank you so much for having me over, everything was delicious. When you get that feeling at the end of the meal that he wasn't happy that you ate the food, so then you feel like, what did I even thank him for? I feel like vomiting everything I ate. I don't even feel satiated with the food I ate. I feel bad for every morsel, for every crumb that I've eaten. So Shlomo Melech says, again, the issue is foresight. Don't eat the meal of someone who's got a bad eye, who's really not interested in your having of his food. פסוק ט', באוזני חסיל אל תדבר כי יבוז לשכל מילך. Don't speak to a fool. You may say intelligent things, but he'll mock you nonetheless. So don't waste your time. Don't talk to the fools. And Shlomo HaMelech stresses, don't talk into their ears. Meaning, you might think, let me just convince him, let me just explain to him, let me just get the point across. Shlomo HaMelech says, Ki yavuz lesechel milecha, he will mock the intelligence of your words. If he doesn't have the intelligence himself, the fact that you're speaking intelligently won't move him. אל תשג גבול עולם ובשדה יתומים אל תבוא כי גואלם חזק הוא יריב את ריבם איתך הביא על המוסר ליבך ואוזניך לאמרי דעת. Shlomo HaMelech says, Al Tasig Gevul Olam. Don't move over the boundary. Don't try to take from the boundaries that have been set from yesteryear, from the time the world's been created. They partitioned the land this way. When you purchased the property, you got this much property. You want to come at night and move over the boundary so you get a few more inches? Shlomo HaMelech says, don't. Don't try to move over the boundary that's been there for generations from the time, so to speak, from the beginning of the world. And don't go into the field of the orphans. And that's an example. The orphans are the ones that have no one to fend for them. So it's very easy to steal from them. They don't know what was really theirs and what wasn't. If you move the boundary between your field and their field, it's going to be very easy to steal from them. Shlomo HaMelech says, don't do it. Don't try to take candy from a baby. Yeah, you can get away with it. What's he going to do? Shlomo HaMelech says, don't do it even behind his back. Yeah, Yonatan. Excellent. I was wondering if anyone remembered. There are two psukim al tasek gvul olam. We just learned it a few psukim earlier. Right. Twice it says al tasek gvul olam. If we have time, we'll go in depth, because this is discussed some of the commentaries discuss it here, but it's discussed at greater length in the Mishnah and Peya. The Mishnah and Peya discusses that if one is harvesting one's field. In the previous chapter, you're right, at the end of the previous chapter, 2 weeks ago, when we learned the previous chapter, in the end of Perek Chaf Bet, so we learned the same pasuk, Al Tasek Gvul Olam. And the Mishnah over there, the Mishnah in Peya says, let's say a person's harvesting his grapevine. And technically, the grapes that fall to the ground belong to the poor. So what does he do? He says, I'll set up my own basket, a huge basket under the tree, and no grapes will fall to the ground. Whatever falls as I'm harvesting will fall into my basket. You know, when I'm harvesting, anything I put in my basket is mine. It's only if it falls to the ground that the Torah said the poor are allowed to take it. So what I'll do is I'll put these huge baskets under the tree. And then as I'm harvesting, whatever falls, I'll say, yeah, I was just putting that in my basket. So technically, that's a way of cheating the poor. Chazal say, Al Tasek Gvul Olam. Don't you take the boundaries of Olam. What is Olam? So Chazal, according to one understanding, is it's an allusion to Olim, those that are on their way up. And we don't look at them and say they're at the bottom of the financial ladder. We say they're the ones that are climbing the financial ladder. They're on their way up the financial ladder. So it's a play on words. Al Tasek Gvul Olim, Al Tasek Gvul Olam. And over there the commentaries discuss that really we have two verses with different conclusions. At the end of the previous chapter it said, Al Tasek Gvul Olam Asher Asu Avotecha. And in our chapter it says, Al Tasek Gvul Olam Uvisdei Yitomim Al Tavo. And the Mishnah in two places in Peya quotes this concept. And the commentaries want to say that the concept that the Mishnah is driving at is the concept that each pasuk is discussing is a different concept. If we have time later tonight, remind me. We'll look at the commentaries over there in Peya. I don't remember it clearly. That's why I'm not telling it to you now. I have to look it up. I don't remember it. Kigoalam chazak, because even though on the surface the orphans are the weak people in society, God says, but the one who redeems them is very powerful. God promises the orphans will take care of them, and whoever cheats them, God says, I'll take him to task. Hu yarivet rivam itach, he, their powerful redeemer, God, he will fight their fight with you. Havia la musar libecha, a person should bring his heart to doing what's right. Ve'oznecha limoidat, and his ears to hear words of understanding, words of intellect. So a person has to move himself to do what's right. Sometimes it's very tempting to cheat someone who it seems we could get away with if we cheat him. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech says, Havia la musar libecha, bring your heart to doing what's right, the oznecha, and your ears to listen to le'im redat, to words of knowledge. Al timna minal musar kitakenu vashevet lo yamut. אתה בשבט תקהנו ונפשו משאול תציל. Don't refrain from chastising the land. You hit him with the stake, he's not going to die. So this can be understood literally, but it could also be understood metaphorically. If you don't rebuke your kid, sometimes you hurt his feelings. Sometimes a parent yells at a child and the kid sits in his room wailing and he yells his head off. And parents get nervous. Wait a second. What am I going to do? The kid's all upset. Shlomo Melech says, take it easy. Just because he says he's not going to die. Assuming you're doing what's good for the child, it's very important to sometimes rebuke the child. The fact that he's upset, well, that's part of chinuch. Yeah, so sometimes he'll yell. When you do it properly, so then he won't die. Quite the contrary. You're saving his life when you do it that way. A parent came to me the other day, said, my daughter always runs away from the Shabbos table to play with the neighbor's kids. They live in an apartment building, and his daughter's best friends are the children from the apartment across the hall. And he said, what am I supposed to do? I never get to talk to her about the parsha. The Friday night meal, she's never home. What am I supposed to do? Now, the girl is all of 5-6 years old. I saw the girl. She's a sweet girl. But the way kids work is they push, and as far as they can get away with, they get away with. And their responsibility is to push. And the responsibility of the adult is to say, Ad kan, you can't push me on this. This is wrong. These parents, this couple, whenever she'd throw a tantrum, so what are we supposed to do? The poor girl's crying. She's wailing. She's upset. She's destroying the whole Shabbos table. So I told him, I said, the most common error that Baalei Tshuva do, in my opinion, the most common error in the chinuch of their kids is that they let their kids go away for the Shabbos meal. Meaning a person who grew up in a Jewish religious home, so it's a given by him that part of the way a home is supposed to look is that the whole family sits down Friday night for the meal and Shabbos morning. But when you meet Baalei Tshuva, you'll hear from them very often, oh, for the Friday night meal, my son very often likes to go to his friend. He has this Shabbos meal by then. What do you mean? You're giving up on the most precious moments of chinuch. Look, I'm with you guys every night. So yeah, sometimes if I have an hour or two in the afternoon, I'll take my son, I'll learn with him in a Beis Medrash, I'll go with him for a walk. You do capture those moments. But most of the week, I can't invest what other parents might invest. My wife is doing a lot of the chinuch. But Friday afternoon, Shabbos, Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon. There's a tremendous amount of time there. And that time is precious. That time that a parent sits with his child and asks him, what'd you learn during the week? Well, how's it going with the Rebbe? How's it going with the classmates? Do you have friends? Are you enjoying learning? Which teachers do you like? What subjects do you like? When you sit and you talk to the child and you learn with the child and you grow with the child as he is growing, those are the most precious moments of the week. And the person who doesn't have that concept, the person who didn't grow up that way, so he forgoes it very easily. So this parent tells me, I know it's important, but what am I supposed to do? The girl wails. So I said, yeah, she wails. So take into account, you have to first agree with your wife. You can't do anything in chinuch unless you're unified. But if you both agree, so then decide. This week, she's going to ruin our Shabbos table. She's going to wail and there's going to be havoc. But we have to stand firm. Take into account a 5-week battle. For the next 5 weeks, it's going to be a battle. But probably the first 2 weeks will be tough. By the third week, she sees you're not budging, so it's not worth it. So the first week, you just close the door and you say, no, you're not going out. Finished. What, your daughter's going to walk out of the house when you say no? So he said, no, she's not going to walk out. She's not chutzpahdik, but she will wail. She will ruin the Shabbos table. Right, she'll wail. And she'll see that you're not budging. You'll say, look, I know you want to play with the neighbor's kids, and I know you like being with them, and there are other times to be with them. Shabbos night, Friday night, you're at home, and you're at the table, and we're going to have the Friday night meal together. This couple reached a point where all of Shabbos, he never got to learn with his own daughter. During the week, he'd learn with her. But the Shabbos meal is not the weekday meal. It's different. Yeah.
I don't have experience.
Oh, no problem. At some point during the meal, the kids can play, but let them play at home. There's a very important concept of the home. We're all together, Shabbos. The kids sit down, they play, right? No problem. It's a huge difference. And anyways, let them play near the Shabbos table. Let them hear the Zmiros. Let them have the Shabbos atmosphere. I wouldn't let him go to his room if his room is on the other end of the house. If it's like where it's one room right next to the other and he's still part of the Shabbos table, it's one thing. But no, let him hear the Shabbos Zmiros. You're right. A child can't sit at the table for 4 hours straight or 3 hours straight. But if the meal is 45 minutes or an hour, and if you sing, and the way the halacha says you're supposed to bring prizes to the kids on Shabbos, make it an exciting meal, make it a day that they look forward to. So if we eat meat on Shabbos, and we like meat, and we like wine, so we honor our Shabbos with that, what do our kids like? You've got to think of how to make the Shabbos an exciting day for them. So I told them that also. Think about how to make the Shabbos meal exciting for them. You should have questionnaires, prepare stories, prepare midrash, and make it exciting. Don't just bring her to the Shabbos table and then talk the Torah you've learned in Kol El all week. No. You've got to prepare stories, prepare things to share with them that'll be on their level. Yeah, sit them on your lap. And when I get home Friday night, I learned from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. You guys heard of Rav Chaim, right? The famous Rav Chaim in Europe. So his children said that when he'd come home Friday night... So he's his grandfather. He was the Rav in Brisk, and he was considered one of the geniuses of the last century. And one of his children said that when he'd come home Friday night, so he'd close the door behind him, and then the kids would all come to him. He'd get on all fours, he'd wear his long coat. He was the rabbi of the town, so he had a long rabbi's coat. Each child would grab a corner of the coat and they'd start going, giddy up, giddy up. And he'd go on all fours all around the house like he was the horse. And they were riding all around, holding onto his coattails as he's going around the house. So outside the house, he's the chief justice, he's the grand rabbi. He wears his long coat and everyone respects him. Inside the house, he's the kid's parents. So he has to make them have an enjoyable, memorable Shabbos. What do they enjoy? Their own Shabbos is to go giddy up and ride around the house. So you have to do it on their level. So every parent has to figure out how to make the Shabbos special. My children know that they get piggyback rides. I'll take them on my shoulders Friday night, Shabbos day. Shabbos is the time they get to go on my shoulders. Well, I could take them all week long, but no, we leave that as the special ride for Shabbos. There are all kinds of things that a parent has to think, depending on the child and the child's age, how to make Shabbos special for him. The child is old enough that you could take him to shul and there's a candy man, or you bring candies. So you bring him to shul for a little bit. He could sing one song and get a candy and leave. Doesn't have to be there the whole davening. Figure it out how to make it work. But Shabbos is a time where it could be special. A person has to make it special. Part of making it special is also making the boundaries, the guidelines. So Shlomo HaMelech tells us, Al timna minal musar. Don't hold yourself back from guiding the child and telling him, this is as far as you're going to go and not beyond this. When you rebuke him and you set him straight, you're saving his life. David HaMelech didn't do this. David HaMelech, Chazal say, he loved his children, and some of his children, he never rebuked them. He never told them, hey, why'd you do that? You know, you messed up over there. That was a wrong call. Think about what you did. He never said that to his child. As a stranger, we always say, what's the point in coming to a person after the fact and saying, why'd you do that? But as a parent, part of chinuch is that you tell a child, wait a second, why'd you do that? Think about why you messed up there. You shouldn't have done that. Shlomo HaMelech, we're going to see in the end of Mishlei, his mother used to beat him up. His mother used to tell him, Shlomo, everyone knows your father's a God-fearing person. If you're going to grow up a bum, they'll say it's all because of me. You better shape up. I don't want people talking badly about me. It's a pasuk later on, Divrei Lemuel Melech, Hamasa Sheisiratu Imo. We're going to learn it at the end of Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech says, you know, my mother used to beat me. She used to say, you better shape up. Yeah, part of chinuch is that you tell a kid there are limits. Bini im chacham ni behecha yismach libi gam ani v'ta'aloz nachil yotai bedaber sifatecha meisharim. My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart is happy as well, and my innards are rejoicing when I hear your lips speak things that are correct. So Shlomo HaMelech says, if a person speaks intelligently, he should know he's also making his parents happy. Shlomo HaMelech tells the son, when you're intelligent, I'm happy as well. Chazal say this pasuk was said about Kilav. It's a very interesting medrash on this. We learned in the Ein Yaakov and Brachos that Shlomo HaMelech had a brother named Kilav. And this brother, that wasn't really his name, his nickname was Kil Av. Kil comes from the word Lechlin, to shame. And he was the father of shame, because anyone who stood next to him would be shamed. He was so smart. And Chazal say Shlomo Amech said this pasuk about this little brother of his. If you'll be smart enough, then I'll be happy. Chazal say David HaMelech said it. That David HaMelech, when he was king, so when he'd have difficult questions, he'd always turn to his Rebbe and say, Rebbe, did I say right? Rebbe, is what I'm saying correct? His Rebbe was Mephibosheth. That wasn't his real name. His real name was Ishbosheth. He was given the nickname Mephibosheth because Mipiv, from his mouth, was Boshes, was shame to David. David would stand there. He's the king. He's the chief rabbi. Women would come in and ask him questions. He'd say, I think this is Dalacha. And then he'd turn to the young Mephibosheth, all of 33 years old. Ishbosheth was brilliant. At 33 years old, he was a brilliant rabbi. And he'd ask him, Rebbe, did I say right? Rebbe, is what I've said right? And Mephibosheth would sometimes say yes, and sometimes say no. But David was modest. He said, I got to hit it right, you know, so I'm going to always ask Mephibosheth. And then David, because he was so humble, he merited to have a son whose real name was Daniel, but he was given the nickname of Kil Av, because he was the father of shame. He would shame Mephibosheth. David's little boy, Daniel, otherwise known as Kil Av, would shame Mephibosheth, because he was even smarter than Mephibosheth. So that was David had such a son in the merit that he put himself down. He would ask Mephibosheth, did I get it right? Did I get it wrong? So that's this pasuk. Benim chacham libecha, my son, if your heart is wise, yismach li bigamani, then my heart will be happy as well. And Bezat Shem, next time we'll try to make a go for finishing this chapter.